ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदाशिवसमारंभां व्यासशंकरमध्यमां अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तान्यकुमारी धीमहि तन्नो दुर्गिः प्रचोदयात् ओम शांति शांति शांति। अंडरस्टैंडिंग वन उपनिषद कॉल्ड बृहदारण्यक उपनिषद इज एज गुड एज अंडरस्टैंडिंग ऑल द अदर उपनिषद्स। इन फैक्ट it is always said a person can say something regarding the teaching, and if he does not remember where he which upanishad he has read it from, he can simply say yes, it is from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, which means all the teachings of all the upanishads are here in this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. And because it happens to be a very big Upanishad, if we cover all the Upasana sections, the sections dealing with meditations, it will take very, very long to finish the text. That is why instead of omitting them, instead of just ignoring them, I thought it would be better for all of you to know the contents of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. That is why I have been doing the summaries of the contents. And the very first chapter, I will be repeating it until I finish the second chapter. And we all have understood very clearly that there is a traditional teaching method of unfoldment or methodology called Adhyaropa Apavada Prakriya. And we know very well Adhyaropaha means superimposition and Apavadaha means negation. So Adhyaropaha means, implies the universe is accepted as reality, and apavadaha means later on when we discover the reality of the universe, what this universe is essentially, and we resolve the same universe in its own reality, its own truth. This is called apavadaha negation. It's like saying first we see the ocean and we accept the ocean with all its waves because we are perceiving the ocean. We say, if there is an ocean, there is an ocean means we are accepting the existence of the ocean as reality. Later on, when we discover the truth of the ocean being water, then we will say, there is no ocean. There is only water in the form of the ocean. This entire ocean is nothing but water. When we say, we are cognitively resolving the ocean, the form and name ocean in the its truth water. This is called a negation. Like this, we have to discover the truth of the universe to say this whole universe is the truth. That's negation. So by using this methodology, Upanishad helps us arrive at the truth of the universe. I don't need to tell you the purpose of knowing the truth. And the truth implied by the term Brahman is arrived at by this method, analyzing, using this method of adhyaropa apavadaha. And here, the whole of first chapter, consisting of 10 sections called 10 brahmanams, present the adhyaropa method. The second chapter presents the apavada method. So by the time we complete the two chapters, we are supposed to arrive at the reality, Brahman. How universe is presented in this first chapter? Universe is not presented as it is simply. I said many times, the universe can be reduced to three words: forms, names and functions constitute the universe. You cannot find better word, better expression to say, to define what this universe is. What is this jagat? What is this prapancha? What is this universe? This entire universe is nothing but forms, names and functions put together. This again further, three words can be reduced to two words as karmani, karma phalani, actions, rituals and their results. This can be further said to be sadhanani and sadhyani, the means and the ends. See, what is this universe? It's another way of looking at it. The whole universe can be said to be nothing but means and the ends. Karanani karyani, causes and effects, or sadhanani sadhyani, the means and the ends, or karmani karma phalani, the actions and the results. This is what the universe is. Whatever you see here is what? Cause and its effect, action and its result, means and the end. Therefore, this universe can be further said to be the manifest universe and the unmanifest universe. The universe of differentiated forms, names and functions is avyakta avyakrita prapanchaha. Vyakta vyakrita prapanchaha. The universe of the manifest universe of differentiated forms, names and functions. It's called vyakta vyakrita prapanchaha. So this vyakta vyakrita prapanchaha, the universe of the manifest universe of differentiated forms, names and functions, which is experienced only in the waking state, is nothing but means and the ends. And this is superimposed upon Brahman, the reality. What is superimposition? When you do not know what the reality is, then we mistake the appearance of the reality the form in which the reality obtains. We mistake the form as the reality, and that is called a superimposition of the form upon the reality. You will take the universe as real, you are superimposing, there is a superimposition of the universe upon the reality. And this, all these actions and their results, the universe is reduced to actions and the results, and the actions and results are set here reduced to just three mental activities, three upasanani and one result, three upasanani and only one result. One result, the absolute ultimate result accomplished, accomplishable through a performance of ritual or an action, is attainment of the Hiranyagarbha status. One result is taken here, a sample for all the results which constitute the universe, and three meditations, two meditations upon Virat, one meditation upon Hiranyagarbha, are taken a sample for all the means, the actions. The four aspects here, three meditations and one result of meditation, upasana phalam in terms of Hiranyagarbha position, the four alone are taken as what? As taken for the whole universe. Vyakta Vyakrita Prapanchaha. That's what we have seen in the previous sections. The first section, second section, third section we have seen, and the fourth section we have seen the attainment of the Hiranyagarbha position also. So means and the end form the Vyakta Vyakrita Prapanchaha, the universe, manifest universe of differentiated forms, names and functions. But there is also, when we talk about the manifest universe, we have to consider definitely avyakta avyakrita prapancha, the universe of undifferentiated forms, names and functions. Why? Because if there is no avyaktam, if there is no avyakritam, it is not possible for manifest vyakta prapancha to be there. Without the unmanifest universe, the manifest universe is not possible. So the unmanifest universe, the unmanifest universe of undifferentiated forms, names and functions, avyakta avyakrita prapanchaha, is also superimposed upon Brahman. Because where does this unmanifest, undifferentiated universe of undifferentiated forms, names and functions obtain? Where does it exist? Not outside of Brahman. Whether manifest or unmanifest, doesn't exist outside of Brahman. And this unmanifest universe of undifferentiated forms, names and functions can be reduced to one word called Maya. So Maya, Prakritihi, Avyaktam, Avyakritihi are the different words used to mean the undifferentiated, unmanifest, undifferentiated universe. So when you say unmanifest, avyaktam, when the world is unmanifest, means nothing of the world is available for perception, nothing of the world is available for transaction, nothing of the world is available for recognition, nothing is perceptive object available for objectification. Therefore, when nothing is available for perception, objectification or recognition, nothing is differentiated also. Differentiation of one form from the other, differentiation of one name from the other, differentiation of one function from the other is possible only when forms, names and functions are perceived, experienced. Therefore, unmanifest means when the whole universe remains as one undifferentiated, unmanifest universe of undifferentiated forms, names and functions as one thing. Everything is as good as everything, potential form. It's maya, prakriti, this avyakrita, avyakta avyakrita prapanchaha also is what we can say. Other is called karana prapanchaha, is also what we say, mithya. This is also there. Brahma. And Upanishad here talks about, so the vyakrita prapanchaha in terms of the actions and the results, the two in terms of meditations and the result were discussed. Then avyakrita prapancha, unmanifest universe also is said to be superimposed upon the Brahman. Then afterwards, we see this unmanifest becomes manifest. When the unmanifest becomes manifest, becoming manifest means everything becoming available for perception. When the forms are perceptible, then experienceable, called manifest. The manifest also differentiated. And along with the rupam and nama, nama and rupa, the karma also, the functions also become manifest. And for which, what are the main three things we need? Shariram, we have to understand differently now. Shariram, the physical body, and karanam, the instruments of perception and actions, karanam, and vishayaha, objects of perception. Karanam, shariram, shariram, karanam, vishayaha. Sharirani, karanani, vishayaha. Sharirani means abode of experience. The physical body is abode of experience. And karanani, instruments of experience and actions. And vishayaha, objects of experience. So, abode of experience, instruments of experience, objects of experience. Charirani, Sharirani, Karanani, Vishayaha. Physical bodies, instruments of experience, and objects of experience. All these alone form what? Have forms, names, and functions. Bodies have names. Like Rama, Krishna, Bipin, Nina, Keith, like that. Physical forms have names, and the name also functions. Similarly, the karanani, the instruments of experience, not only the physical bodies, abodes of experience, abode of enjoyment have names, forms and functions, even the instruments of experience also have their names, forms and functions. Every instrument has its own name, its own form, its own function. Subtle form. The physical bodies have gross forms. Subtle instruments have subtle forms, functions. And also, Vishayaha, all the objects also are what? No. Vishayaha, objects also have forms, names and functions. Every object of experience also has its own form, its own name and the function or the purpose it serves. Like this, Sharirani Karanani Vishayaha. Physical bodies, the abodes of enjoyment. Karanani, the instruments of enjoyment. And Vishayaha, the objects of enjoyment. All of them have what are forms, names and functions. Now, not only here we have to include all the actions, the function we talk about, the law and order, the laws, actions, their results, and the laws which determine the results of actions, all of them become manifest. From the unmanifest, they all become manifest. When do they become manifest? When they become manifest, they become differentiated. When do they become manifest? When the karma is ripe. When the prarabdha karma phalam is ripe, ready for fructification, only then the manifestation happens. That's why we say there's an order involved. You can't just, it doesn't happen just like that. There's a perfect order involved. When the karma is samashti prarabdha karma phalam is ready for fructification, then here manifestation happens. When there is manifestation, everything becomes differentiated also. This unmanifest forms, names and functions becoming manifest, thereby getting differentiated, is called abhivyaktihi, otherwise called vyakaranam. So vyakaranam also means grammar in Sanskrit. Vyakaranam means differentiation. Okay, when everything becomes manifest. We do not go into the details of things, but this is what Upanishad very briefly presents. But one beautiful thing to remember is whether the Sharirani, all the physical forms and the abodes of enjoyment and all the instruments of enjoyment, the Karanani, and Vishayaha, all the objects of enjoyment, you know, all the forms, names and functions are within the realm of matter, which is of the nature of inertness. All these manifest world of objects, all the objects are manifest and differentiated, are of the nature of inertness. There is no such a thing called knowledge or sentiency on the part of anything here. And this entire world of objects, the world of forms, names and functions, is an object of knowledge, Vishayaha. Lokaha Vishayaha. Jnana Vishayaha. Object of knowledge. And this much Upanishad says, this is how from the unmanifest, the universe becomes manifest. It briefly mentions. when the karma is ready for fructification, samashti parabdha, everything becomes manifest. When the karma is not ready, there is neither experience of pain nor can there be experience of pleasure. That is why it is said always, every day individual prarabdha comes to an end, you fall asleep. If you sleep during the daytime, that's different. Okay. Whenever prarabdha karma ends, you fall asleep. 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 1 o'clock, doesn't matter. Whenever you fall asleep, that particular day's prarabdha is over. Your sleep is not because of punyam or papam. Your sleep because that day's karma is over. In sleep, you have neither pleasure nor pain. People will ask, why do you say there's no pleasure in sleep? There is some bliss, isn't it? Yes, there is bliss, but there is no pleasure. No way. For pleasure to be there, for pain to be there, that experiencer must be there with the knowledge of existence of the experiencer. The experiencer must be there knowing I am. In sleep, the experiencer is there, but not knowing the self being the experiencer. In sleep, the experiencer is, where can the experiencer go? Experiencer is the truth. Experiencer is always there. But still, experiencer is in sleep without knowing I am. Whereas, that is why sleep, you are not exhausting any punyam or papam. When the punya papa exhaustion of the day is over, the day you had good food or good music, you had good, at least that day you didn't have any pain, the day went up means you exhausted your pressure, a punyam. You had some small backache or some small headache or something, some papam also exhausted. Some struggle, some walking around, some running around. Some sort of, if you mentally feel disturbed, some papa. Both punya and papa, every day we're exhausting punya papa. When the punya papa gets exhausted, that particular day's parabdha is over, you fall asleep. In sleep is what? You don't experience pain or pleasure because there's no parabdha. And you sleep until the next day's parabdha gets ready for fructification. And even if you want to sleep after 3 o'clock, you are woken up sometimes. You know why? You may be sleepy, but you are woken up, disturbed. Why? Prarabdha wakes you up. Or sometimes 9 o'clock you wake up because it is, you know, because of the indisciplined life also. 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, whenever you wake up, and then that day what now? Prarabdha karma wakes you up to go through that day's parabdha. Every day we exhaust the parabdha karma, we fall asleep. Again next day woken up. Again next day woken up. Next day woken up by our own parabdha. Suppose sometimes for some people parabdha ends after waking up. And sitting the person may go, walking the person may go, or having fallen sick, the person may die. Sometimes people have very good prarabdha, go to bed, they don't get up. Prarabdha is over. Next day, they have the next set of prarabdha has to get ready, they don't even wake up. Why the person does not wake up? Prarabdha of this person, prarabdha is over, so he doesn't wake up. We think I wake him up, you wake him up, alarm wakes us up. That's true. Alarm can wake up, somebody else can wake up, you know, phone calls can wake up only if you have parabdha to exhaust. If parabdha is over, whoever comes and wakes you up, nobody can wake you up. You have a long sleep. death. This is how the setup is here. Okay, but again, when the, you know, like after when you're born again, so here the Upanishad says the whole universe is unmanifest, means becomes unmanifest also. Where is this universe? This universe was there before, the universe is manifest again. The universe was unmanifest before, again becomes manifest. When it is unmanifest, it's like everything remains covered in darkness. Like here, the whole world is nothing is differentiated here. It remains as one. When it manifests, again everything is differentiated. And the forms, names, functions, everything is happening in this life. But here, who having created this universe, this becoming manifest is called a creation. The important next discussion is, the diversion comes here. Bhagavan or Paramatma enters into the universe. Called Anupraveshaha. Veshaha itself means entering. Praveshaha also means entering. Anupraveshaha means at once the Lord enters into the world. So who is the Lord here? Again, there is no Lord other than the reality. We have to remember, Ishwaraha is only a status attributed to the reality. Look at the reality as the one endowed with the power of manifesting. So the word avyaktam can mean mere maya. And here Shankaracharya says, from this unmanifest, everything has become manifest means. It can mean mere maya, or it can mean Ishvara with maya, or it can mean mere Ishvara. I mean, mere Paramatma. He mentions all the three. So from Ishvara, this universe has come into existence, then Ishvara enters into this universe. This entry into the universe is like, there's a big discussion he presents. In Taittiriya Upanishad also it is mentioned, Tat Srishtva Tadeva Anupravishat. Anupravishat, it is mentioned there. So entering is like what? How does the Lord enter into this universe? It is not really entering there. Because to enter into something, one must be outside of something. Then one can enter. If we say the Lord has created the universe and entered into the universe, if we say the Lord, the Dvaitam duality comes. Lord must have been outside of what he created, exactly like somebody builds a house, and having built the house, the person enters into the house. The person who enters into the house is different from the house which is built, has been built. Like that, if we say Lord has created the universe, then he entered into the universe, if we say, the duality will come. The Lord was outside of the universe, and Lord before he was not there in the universe, and now as though he is entering into the universe, the duality will come. So it is not right to say that Lord has entered into the universe. Therefore this, there is a Anupravesha Shrutihi, the statement of, in the statement of this Upanishad, which reveals the entry of Brahman, Ishvara, into the universe. Which means Ishvara is there as the truth of everything, as the living being, the non-living thing, mobile being, immobile being, as the truth of everything that is here, Ishvara is there in and through pervading. Which means, so that entry is something to be unfolded, explained. That Shankara gives lot of many discussions are presented by Shankara here. We'll see all those discussions one by one. The Anupravesha, there's so many arguments he presents. He says, he negates, no, this is not the way Brahman entered. This is not the way Brahman entered. This is not the way Brahman entered. Finally, he will say, no, there's no such a thing called entry at all. It's as though entered. Brahman does not really enter, as though entered. Isn't it? If you look at the wave, you can say, if you look at the water as the lord of the ocean and the waves, you can say, who has created the waves? Nobody has, there's no creation. Water has manifested itself in the as the ocean and the waves. But then, therefore, from the standpoint of the waves, you can say, the manifestation of the waves can be said to be what now? Creation of the waves. I want to say, who created the waves? No, water is not the creator. But definitely you can say, the creator of everything is water. Waves is water. Because without the water, no wave is possible. Without the water, no wave can exist. Therefore, from the standpoint of the wave, we can say the creator of the wave is water. But water has not really created the wave. Water has become the wave by itself. And becoming the wave is what? Its power. Okay, water being capable of becoming the wave is its shakti. Only when the water becomes the wave, you appreciate the power. Oh, the water has the power. It can become the wave. And having become the wave, without the water, the wave cannot be there. Therefore, from the standpoint of the wave, we say what? The creator of the wave is water. Even though there is no creation, the water appearing as the wave is said to be the creation of the wave. And we say, from the standpoint of the wave, we say, the creator of the wave is water. Why? Because without the water, the wave cannot be. Now, where is the wave now? Water now? Water having created the wave, water has entered into the wave. How has water entered now? There is no real entry. As though entered. As though entered. Water cannot enter the wave. Water need not enter the wave. Okay. Water cannot, need not enter the wave. Already wave is water as though entered. As though entered. And this as though entry is called Anupraveshaha. And how and that we will, it's all for understanding only. We will see that later on. So this particular Anupravesha topic, I'll keep it for the next class. But here, why I want to say here, and we were talking about the Brahma before. This Brahma, Hiranyagarbha, you know, came in the, appeared, and he created everything as Shatarupa, Manuhu, all the, then from through Hatrupa and Manuhu, all the human beings, and later on the cows, horses, elephants and all other ants, etc., all the living creatures, and later on all the devatas, especially in the form of Agnihi and Agni Devata and Soma Devata, and from through the Agni and the Soma, they eat the Annam and Annadaha. Agni Devata alone becomes the consumer of food, and the Soma Devata becomes the consumed food. Therefore, everything Hiranyagarbha has become. Then Hiranyagarbha says, he looks at everything, all that is here is myself. I am Satarupa, I am Manuhu, I am all the human beings, I am all the living creatures here, I am all the non-living things also, I am all, this way non-living thing, you know, don't use, all the devatas. Okay, living creatures, and we say all the devatas, all the powers, and not only that, all the causes and the effects, all the consumers and the consumed, and the enjoyers and the enjoyed, experiencers and the experienced. Everything is myself, I am. And he looks at everything, and he says, I am everything. Even though he sees, looks at everything, but he does not know what I am. Yeah, I am the whole. I am everything here. There is a second thing other than me. I am everything here. And this is the, again, highest, it is again a very, the knowledge accomplishable as a highly evolved person. I am, and I am the whole. I am everything. This itself is a very great knowledge. But still, even for a person to say, I am everything, one must know what I am. But with Hiranyagarbha, it is possible for him to say, I am everything. Why? Because Hiranyagarbha knows. Hiranyagarbha alone is creator of the world. Everything is created by Hiranyagarbha. But Hiranyagarbha himself, who created Hiranyagarbha? How did Hiranyagarbha come into existence? I told you, Hiranyagarbha has the cause. It is Antaryam Ishvara. And who is this Ishvara? The powerful reality with its power. What is that reality, the powerful reality? Impravatyam Brahma. What is that Brahma? We do not know. And Hiranyagarbha needs to discover that reality. Ishvara, the Lord. Who is the Lord? The powerful one is the Lord. Powerless one cannot be called the Lord. And who is the powerful one? Reality. That reality is implied by the term Brahma. Only in discovering that, the Hiranyagarbha can have absolute satisfaction. Now what Hiranyagarbha now knows, Aham Idam Sarvam, I am this whole. But what is still lacking, he is lacking on his part, is what I am. Only in discovering what I am, the knowledge will be complete. Until the knowledge will be only incomplete knowledge. With incomplete knowledge, there will be dissatisfaction. In total knowledge, there will be absolute satisfaction. In absolute satisfaction, there is freedom. In incomplete knowledge, and in dissatisfaction, there is bondage, there will be unhappiness. So here we have to understand. Always, let us take our own antakaram to understand Hiranyagarbha here. See, for us, every one of us, if we take every human being, when do we experience the world? It's just to understand Hiranyagarbha. I'm going to go to the Pravesha Shruti again later in discussion. We understand Hiranyagarbha here. We have to understand from our own experience. For us, the world, when does the world exist for all of us? When do we have experience of pains and pleasures? When do we have experience of paths of opposites? When do you feel burdened? When do you feel I'm really having lots of problems? I'm sorting out my unresolved issues, old issues. I've been suffering from these problems for a very long time. We have lots of problems in life. I'm not saying no. But when do we experience? When do we... All the lot we talk about is all based on what we experience of a waking state. Only one state of experience. Because deep sleep state can never be counted, because in deep sleep state there is no experience of pains and pleasures. In sleep you are definitely resting. However sorrowful a person is, however problemful the life is, however problematic, but still person, when he falls asleep, there is no sukham and dukkham. So only in the waking state, only when you are awake, we have experience, we experience the world. Only then, because only in the waking state, we say all our five sense organs are open, they're awake. The sense organs are awake, then only then the objective universe can be experienced, perceived. So without, when the objective universe is not perceived, not experienced, then there cannot be agitation in the mind. Agitation means what? Pain or pleasure, jealousy or hatred or fear or anxiety, all these emotions or any disturbance in the stillness of mind. There is mind which is undisturbed stillness of mind. That is why in Swamiji you should say the samadhi means what? Undisturbed stillness of mind. It's a state of mind, that is. Samadhi is a state of experience. And every day you are in sleep, we are all like that. We all have samadhi experience. What a person has in samadhi, the same if we have it in our sleep also. Only difference is that the person may know I am. Here you do not know that I am. But what is the big thing? It's only experience. It's only experience. Experience means the state of mind. State of mind means subject to change. Subject to change means it is not permanent. Permanent means what? Again you will be, you will have that sorrow. You will have other problems. That is why here, when do we have this? The mind is, mental disturbance is possible only in the waking state, only when the sense organs are awake, when sense organs report to the mind the what is available in the external world of objects. So that's why he always said, Matraha sparshastu kaunteya, shita ushta sukha dukkhadaha. This experience of pairs of opposites is possible only in the waking state. Only when the sense organs are awake. Only when the sense organs come in contact with their respective objects. When you perceive the world, you perceive the world as it is. You see the light, okay, there is light. There is a man, there is a woman, there are pink things, there is a flower, there is a tree, there is a... If you see, look at things as just as they are, there's no problem. But as soon as we see, we perceive them, we hear the sounds, we hear, we taste the food, we smell the different smells. But immediately, there'll be raga and dvesha. Raga or dvesha will arise. We cannot help. Desires rise. Passion for those things may rise. Our aversion can rise. Likes and dislikes may be there. Sometimes fear can, sometimes you see something, the fear can come in your mind. Anxiety can cause. Anything rises is what? Vrittihi. So perception of objects gives rise to disturbance, the stillness of mind. Because thoughts rise. Housed in the stillness of water, the waves or ripples come. But what? Water is disturbed. Similarly here, the stillness of mind is disturbed. Agitation. Why agitation? Very natural. There will be agitations. When this agitation happens? Only when the sense organs come in contact with sense objects. The sense organs report to the mind what is outside, then the agitation happens. When then pleasure is there, that's fine. Desirable, externally things are desirable, fine. Pleasant, fine. But the situations are not the same always. They'll be undesirable, unpleasant. Something, the perception of certain things immediately triggers a lot of anger in you. Sometimes the fear in you, anxiety in you, you know, sometimes jealousy, it can trigger anything. because of so many other reasons for that, why they are triggering so many things. When all of them, any disturbance is nothing but the disturbance in the stillness of mind, which all thoughts rise. Okay, therefore, this world, now that's fine. So that's why we experience these pairs of opposites. But when do we experience this world? For us, first of all, there must be knowledge that there is the world, isn't it? When you perceive the world through sense organs, the knowledge rises that there is the world. There is a world. If there's no knowledge that the world is, then the world, it's like in sleep. Why in sleep there's no problem? Because in sleep there is no knowledge that the world exists. And does the world exist or not in sleep? When you're fast asleep, the world does exist outside, externally. External to the from the standpoint of physical body and mind, you can say the world exists outside. From the standpoint of the mind, we can say the world exists outside. The standpoint of Atma, you can't say world exists outside. From the standpoint of the mind, we can say the world exists outside. External world. So when does the world exist for you? The world always exists. But for you, the world doesn't exist. Why? Because there is no knowledge of the existence of the world in terms of the world is jagad asti. Jagad asti iti jnanam is not there. If the knowledge must be there, only then the world enjoys existence. The world exists for you. If there is no knowledge inside, outside, the world doesn't exist. Whatever cognition you have, that alone exists outside. The knowledge, whatever knowledge you have inside, that alone exists outside. If there is no knowledge in the mind, there is no, that given object doesn't exist for you. This is why external world, all the objects, the existence of the external objects is purely, absolutely dependent on the internal cognitions you entertain, you have. So that's why knowledge, existence presupposes knowledge. Existence of the universe presupposes the knowledge of the existence of the universe. If there is no knowledge the world is, then externally the world will be as good as non-existent. There is no world. If there is no world means, how can there be, you can talk about how can the non-existent world create pain or pleasure for you. Isn't it? Therefore, experience perception of the world, perception of objects, and the experience of the objects, and etc., and giving rise to the pairs of opposites. All is possible only if there is knowledge, first of all, the world is, isn't it? And even for that the knowledge the world is possible only if there is knowledge I am. If there is no knowledge I am, definitely there cannot be the knowledge the world is. Then no perception is possible, no experience is possible, no pain and pleasure is possible. That is why you can say from the standpoint of this world, I am, only then the world is. Therefore you are, you can say, from the standpoint of the world, you can say the creator of the world is you. If you are not there, the world is not there. That's why we say the knowledge of the existence of the self in terms of I am, when it rises, that is called manifestation of knowledge. When there is manifestation of knowledge, I am itself is what? manifestation of knowledge obtained from our thought. Only then there is a manifestation of knowledge, the world is. Only then you can say what? The world exists. Then the perception of the objects is possible. The repeatedly perceiving objects can cause what? Then we can see the usha sukha dukkha daha. The different emotions are triggered. Perception of objects need not trigger, but perception of objects becomes instrumental. Perception of objects is not the cause for the emotions. Perception of objects only is instrumental in triggering the emotions which you already have. It can be fear or anxiety or jealousy or hatred or anger, likes and dislikes. All these emotions are there dormant in you. They are triggering those emotions. Perception of objects becomes instrumental. Is it clear now? Therefore, if there is no aham vrittihi, if there is no knowledge I am, there cannot be the world. There cannot be world, there cannot be perception, there cannot be experience, there cannot be even triggering of the emotions. There is no experience of pairs of opposites. Is it clear now? If I-sense resolves, the mid I-sense resolves, the whole world becomes what? Unmanifest. The world is as well as non-existent for you. You have to understand from your firm, so small individual standpoint these facts to appreciate Hiranyagarbha. That is why in the very beginning I said Hiranyagarbha is said to be Aham Namakaha. Do you remember I told you earlier, Hiranyagarbha was given three different titles, Aham Namakaha, Vishwam and Purushaha, Srishtihi. Whole creation is Hiranyagarbha. Now you can understand, only when there is this knowledge I am, then alone the knowledge of the world is, only then the world is means I am the whole creation. I am Srishtihi. I am means what? This I is the creation. The whole creation is this I. When you say the whole creation is Hiranyagarbha, you have to see the whole creation is I. If the I resolves, where is the universe? Where are the objects? Where is perception? Where are the sense organs? Where is the knowledge of the world? And where is pain and pleasure? Where are the pairs of opposites? Where are the emotions? No emotion can be triggered from underneath, from your subconscious, if the very knowledge I am is not there. Do you see what I'm saying? It's not a new lesson for you. It's not a new lesson, very old lesson, kindergarten lesson only today. But I wanted to understand Hiranyagarbha. Why? How you understand it? How? That's why. It is this aham. This knowledge itself is what? You have to look at it as Hiranyagarbha. Where is this knowledge? This I am. Because it's all preparation for later on aham brahmasmi. Okay? What is this I am? What is this I am? What is this I? Isn't it? Because it is very important. The Hiranyagarbha. Why? That's why. Brahma prathama sambhuva vishvasya karta bhuvanasya gopta. Who is the protector of this universe? Who is the creator of this universe? Brahma. Why? He is the creator. Who creates now? Only it is I must be there. I sense must be there. For this sense to be there. For this sense to be must be there. For the world to be there. Then life in terms of going through the paths of opposites. etc., is all possible. And exhaustion of punya papa is also possible. If I doesn't come up, when this knowledge I am is resolved, it is not there, there's no pain or pleasure. Therefore, the I itself becomes manifest when, you know, parabdha. Isn't it? The parabdha must work. Only then it comes up. And therefore, here, this I sense must be there for the world to be there, which means only then experience is possible. Exhaustion of punya papa, the karma palani can be exhausted. We're going through the paths of opposites, pain or pleasure, success or failure. You can reduce all the punya papa, all the paths of opposites into two as what? Pain and pleasure. And the pain and pleasure are reducible to punyam and papa. So punya papa exhaustion is possible only when there is mind. Isn't it? But mind means what? First of all, there must be the knowledge I am. And what is this knowledge I am? So the world is possible only if I am means. We say this I am is not always there. If it is always there, then the world will always be there. The experience will be always there. There will be only one state of experience. There cannot be something called deep sleep state. There cannot be something called a dream state. There will be only waking state all the time. If this knowledge I am obtaining in the form of a thought does not come and go, it is not a permanent knowledge. It is a vritti jnanam. It is a thought, knowledge obtaining in the form of a thought. And the thought is of the nature of coming and going. It comes, this stays, and it resolves again. Again it comes, stays, it resolves. When this knowledge I am, the knowledge I am, obtaining in the thought rises, then we call it a waking state. Only then the knowledge the world is also possible. Then the perception is possible. Then experiences are possible. Then paths of opposites, all in your mind. Pain and pleasure are not external, isn't it? The externally perceived objects, external situations become nimittam, instrumental in triggering the emotions which are internal. And where do you go through fear? Where do you go through pain? Where do you go through pleasure? Outside? It's all in the thoughts. Therefore, I am is there, the world is experience of pairs of opposites is possible. So here, dvandva anubhavaha jagatyam satyam. When the universe is, only then the experience of pairs of opposites. And the universe can be only when there is knowledge I am, which is manifestation of knowledge. This is knowledge. I am is knowledge. It is the form of a thought. But we call it a manifest knowledge. Why? Because there is a time this knowledge is not there. And that is what is called unmanifest. When this knowledge is not there, what is there? Ignorance, we say, isn't it? When this knowledge obtaining in the form of a thought resolves, we should not say knowledge is not there. When this knowledge obtaining in the form of thought resolves, that state of mind is called ignorance. When there is ignorance, when thought doesn't rise, there is ignorance. Thought is resolved, ignorance. Thought rises knowledge, thought resolves ignorance. Thought rises knowledge, thought resolves ignorance. And what is that ignorance? Ignorance is another name for unmanifest. Avidya, ajnanam is another name for unmanifest. So when the ignorance is, we call it a deep sleep state. When there is knowledge, it is waking state. When there is ignorance, it is deep sleep state. Even though the world exists, still when this knowledge, when there is the knowledge, optimum of thought resolves. When there is ignorance, there is no knowledge, the world is. Is it? Ignorance of the existence of the world also. That's why we said purna avidya, total ignorance. And the total ignorance is not absence of knowledge. Total ignorance is that which is there, opposed to knowledge. There is pure knowledge, but there is no knowledge of the existence of the self. There is no knowledge of the existence of the world, total ignorance. And when there is ignorance, we call it a deep sleep state. And we call what? Unmanifest. Understand this now. You understand avidya at the individual level. You understand what is unmanifest at the total level. You can never understand unmanifest. So after Mahapralaya, what happens is, how you are in sleep, so you will be in Mahapralaya. So you will be in death also. How nothing is happening. Only what is lacking is, the experience of the external world is not possible. Because the experiencer is not there. Experiencer is not there, means experiencer is there without knowing one's own self. There's experiencer without knowing one's own self. Therefore here we say, that's why when there is knowledge, that is vyaktam, vyakta, vyaktata, manifestation. When there is ignorance, there is avyaktata. This knowledge is manifestation of what? Manifestation of the reality. And the reality is, in what form does reality obtain? Reality obtains in the form of pure knowledge. Therefore we call it manifestation of knowledge. Only when there is manifestation of ajendam of a thought, the external world of objects enjoys existence. Therefore, the whole world of objects, entire world of objects, is not created by I. The knowledge I am, the knowledge I, does not create the knowledge I obtaining in the form of a thought rises when Prarabdha works. Then the knowledge of the world also rises, world is also rises. Then the world enjoys existence. The world is not created by I. Does I create the world? I does not create the world. I does not create the knowledge. I just rises. What is this I? What is it? We have no words, so we have to use all the expressions, rises, etc. I is a phenomenon obtaining in the form of a thought, which is actually manifestation of knowledge. I am a subtle phenomenon obtaining in the form of a thought, which is manifestation of knowledge of the existence of the self. Therefore, there must be manifestation of the knowledge of the self. Only then it can be manifest the knowledge of the existence of the world. When there is manifestation of knowledge in the member, thought alone, the external world shines. When the manifestation of knowledge of the thoughts resolve, when there is avidya, the world also becomes as good as non-existent. World does not become non-existent. The world loses its status of being existent. Please understand. The world does not become non-existent. The world loses its status of being existent. Therefore, for the world to enjoy the status of being existent, there must be manifestation of knowledge in terms of the world is. And for the knowledge the world is to be there, first and the foremost thing is what? The knowledge I am must be there. And this knowledge I am to be there, there must be source of the knowledge. And the source of knowledge is the reality up to now, pure knowledge. And the reality must have some power for it to rise in the form of a thought. Okay? Brahma Pratama Sambhava. Who is Brahma here? This knowledge I am rises first. This Brahma Pratamaha. So the I sense alone first, what is that first knowledge which has become manifest? First and the foremost thing which has become manifest. Not in the Sikh order, okay? First I made upma, then I made idli, then I made sambar. No, not like that. First means without the simultaneous, without the I sense, there cannot be the sense that the world is. Without that, the external world cannot be there. Therefore, who is the first and the foremost? Who is the first created? I sense or this sense? Do you see what I am saying? All the old lessons, but I am giving, making you see the fact. Who is first created? There is no creation. There is only manifestation. But from the standpoint of the reality, we say, without the reality, without the source of knowledge, please listen to me carefully, without the source of knowledge, there cannot be manifestation of knowledge. Like what? Without the water, the source of the wave, there cannot be a wave. Even though wave is nothing but water, for the form wave to appear and to move here and there, there must be source of wave in terms of water. Similarly, for this cognition or knowledge obtaining in the form of a thought to rise in terms of I am, it comes, it's there, it goes also. That which comes and goes is vritti jnanam. And what is the source of this I am? What is the source of this knowledge? The source of knowledge is the pure knowledge, reality, the pure consciousness. And now we say, from stand without the source of knowledge, obtaining of pure knowledge, knowledge is not possible. Therefore we say, the creator of the I sense is Ishvara. Is it clear? Are you listening to me? The creator of I sense is who? Who creates the I sense? There is no creation, it's only manifestation. But from the standpoint of the I sense, without the source of manifestation, manifestation is not possible. Without the source of manifestation, manifestation is not possible. Therefore, we look at the source of manifestation, the truth, the reality, abstract reality, obtaining in the home of pure knowledge as the powerful reality. Amazing. This knowledge has the power of manifesting as the creator. Is it clear now? Creator of the essence, Ishvara. The reality is looked upon as Ishvara, who is this creator of Brahma in terms of I am. Thereby, in terms of the world is. And because of which, the external world shines. Therefore, the whole cosmos, whatever enjoys existence, is expression of the manifestation of knowledge. The minute the manifest knowledge resolves, the whole world disappears for you. If you fall asleep, when the knowledge is not manifest, the thoughts, all the thoughts resolve, you yourself lose the status of being the existent. You are, even though you are pure existence, whenever you lose the status of being the existent, then you are not existent, you are pure existence. Noun. You are there as pure existence, which is pure knowledge, pure consciousness. When there is knowledge, and again the world also enjoys its status of being existent, the world is not created, nor is it destroyed. It loses the status of being existent, it enjoys the status of being existent in keeping with the presence, in keeping with the rising or the resolution of the thoughts. The manifest knowledge obtaining in the form of thoughts. So who is Ishvara? Reality with the power of manifesting itself as the knowledge, which is of the nature of knowledge, which has the power of manifesting as the knowledge in the form of thought, is Ishvara. And the knowledge which is in the form of thought is Brahma, and the whole world is what? Vishnu. Okay, there cannot be. Who is Vishnu actually? From the standpoint of the world, who is that who is shining in the form of the whole world? It is the pure knowledge. Vishnu is pure knowledge, Ishvara is pure knowledge, Brahma is pure knowledge. Essentially, the world can be reduced to pure knowledge. Brahma can be reduced to pure knowledge. Even that Mundakopanishad mantra, first Brahma came into existence. Brahma Pratamaha Sambhava. And it is this Brahma who is the Vishwasya Karta. Brahma who came into existence first, and he created the universe. Vishwasya Karta. And he is the sustainer of the universe also. How long does the universe exist? As long as knowledge I am is there. Knowledge I am results, it also collapses. The bhuvanasya gopta. Not only vishwasya karta, also gopta. Creator of the universe. Hasir of the universe is what? Brahma. Brahma first happened, first came into existence. This is a story. What will you think? The Bhagavan sitting there separately, and first he created Brahma, then Brahma created the rest of the universe. We understand the stories. But here we have to understand who is the one who first happened. Nobody created. That is the power of knowledge. It can manifest. Power of knowledge is such that it can manifest. as the subtle phenomenon in terms of thought, and which is again what? What can we call, what name can we give it? The phenomenon obtaining in the form of a thought which rises. What name can you give? Because it is only appearance of the, only manifestation of the knowledge only. Because reality is of the nature of knowledge. Because you can't, reality is so abstract, the foremost truth, beginningless reality, and in we appreciate the reality only in terms of its nature of knowing. Therefore, what do you say? You say reality is of the nature of knowledge. This is pure knowledge. And the thought which rises, the phenomenon which rises in the form of a thought, which rises, you call it a thought. The subtle phenomenon which rises, which exists, which also goes, it has to come and go. It cannot be there all the time. That is the nature of the power. It can come, it can go. It can come, it can go. So the subtle phenomenon which comes and goes is called a thought. So this phenomenon obtaining in the form of a thought is what? What is it? Manifestation of what? The reality. Manifestation of reality in the form of knowledge, we call it manifest knowledge. It's called, only then it is, isn't, I am, recognizability is possible. Recognizability is there only then. When there is no manifestation of a thought, reality is non-recognizable. When there is manifestation, recognizable. Then the world is known. Again, who is recognize? Who recognizes? The recognizer is reality. Recognizability is possible because of reality. There's nothing other than reality here. We have to understand later on. Therefore, there is no Ishvara, we say. It is the pure reality. And how this reality, which is obtaining of pure knowledge, rises? That is the power. There is no power separately sitting outside of the reality. That is how reality is. And this naturally happens. I am, the world is. Then the world shines. Then there is perception. Then what happens? We go through pairs of opposites. Then all our from subconscious, everything is triggered. Every time the jagat, every time the world becomes manifested, everything, all the minds, all the sense powers, all the punya papams, I tell you, all the punya papams of all the individuals remain unmanifest, they all become manifest. When the I sense resolved, what happens to punya papams? And become unmanifest. Punyam and papam you have in your account, everybody's account becomes unmanifest. Punya papam also becomes manifest. Experience of pain and pleasure is possible. Everything is when, only when there's manifestation of knowledge. That is why there's no creation here. The whole external world is what? Manifestation of knowledge. That's why we say the whole world is nothing but forms. Forms are the meanings of the words. Padarthaha, shabdarthaha. The world is full of forms. All the forms are meanings of the words. And the words themselves are what? Expressions of the manifestations of knowledge. Words are expressions of the manifestations of knowledge. And manifestations are of the only reality knowledge. So, pada, shabdaha, shabdarthaha, all of them are in the knowledge. Let me say, shabdartha is Brahman. Shabda is Brahman. Shabdartha Brahma, Shabda Brahma, called Nada Brahma, you know, Jnana Brahma. Everything is Brahma. Ultimately, everything I've reduced to one truth. For Hiranya Garbhaha, when you look at this knowledge, manifest knowledge in terms of I am, at a total level, all the minds, the totality of minds, we call it what? Every mind, wherever the knowledge I am is, isn't it? All the minds together, samashti manaha, is a what? Hiranyagarbha, Ishvara. Samashti pranaha, Ishvara. And samashti indriya shakti is what? Ishvara. Because there must be first manaha. Only then there can be prana and indriyani. Samashti prana, samashti manaha, samashti indriyani, we call it a Hiranyagarbha. Okay? And this Hiranyagarbha expressed is what? Samashti virat. It is again Ishvara. Total is Ishvara. Samashti sthula prapanchaha is creation of Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha is samashti suksha prapancha. Hiranyagarbha is creation of Ishvara. Ishvara is nothing but the reality which is endowed with a unique power of manifesting as I and this. And that Ishvara is another than Param Brahma Chaitanyam. Okay, we'll continue in the next class. Okay? Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.